We back, bitches. Finally, I got into the swing of things with these podcasts and then my hosting platform went down, but that's okay. It's been nice to switch off fully over Christmas and the new year. Hope you all had a wonderful start to the year. And this is the first podcast of the year, so I'm really excited to dive in. And what I want to be talking about today is the other day on my Instagram, I asked the question, what is one thing you could work on to become a better lover? I want to dive into this. I want to pick it apart a little bit, dive deeper, talk about why it's important to take self-responsibility, share some of your answers, and then I want to share something that I've been working on that has allowed me to become a better lover, which has in turn allowed me to create a better love life for myself. Because that's the key. If you want to create a better love life, it has to start with you becoming a better lover. Too often, I think, as women, we tend to push the blame on men and complain about everything they're doing wrong or what they could improve on. But it really is such a beautiful thing to take a look at yourself, question where you could improve, and even better, work on it. After all, this is where our power lays, ladies. You could sit around for the rest of your life waiting for him to change, waiting for them to change, waiting for him to be a better lover, to be more loving, to be more assertive, to be better in bed, or waiting for a better man to come along. But your power lays in what you can do, in what you can change. And that, my love, is the way that you show up in relationships. For example, with what I just mentioned, if you want your partner to be more loving, instead of trying to change him, you could ask yourself, how can I work on improving my self-worth so that I can welcome him in fully and receive his love fully? How can I make him feel safe to open up? If you're wanting him to be more assertive, instead of waiting around for that to change, ask yourself, how can I learn to trust and surrender to him more so that he can take the lead? How can I let him know that I trust him to do so? If you're complaining that sex isn't that good, instead of complaining or turning it down altogether, ask yourself, how can I learn to feel more empowered within my sexuality so I can clearly and confidently communicate with him what I need and desire? If your needs aren't getting met, how can you share them more effectively? If you're craving more connection, what walls need to come down? I could go on. So many of you are craving more connection, more intimacy. You want to feel more seen, more heard, more understood. And when these needs aren't getting met, instead of communicating it, what's happening is your inner child is getting triggered and taking over. You end up projecting onto your partner, getting defensive, passive aggressive, reactive, resentful, none of which supports you getting the love you want and desire. So, before we go any deeper, let's read out some of the points that you shared with me the other day. So, your answers to the question, what is one thing you could work on to become a better lover? Were, you've said patience, getting validation from myself instead of seeking it from a partner, expressing my needs instead of assuming he knows, communication, there were so many answers on communication, being less uptight, when I feel anxious, talking about it instead of holding it in, again, communication, trust in myself and in them, being less reactive or passive aggressive when triggered, not questioning whether I'm likable or have anything to offer, opening my heart when faced with fear, getting too attached too quickly, also so much around having stronger boundaries and owning your yes and no, also so much about or around being less defensive, healing my relationship with the masculine so that I can trust men, and again, talking about what I'm feeling as soon as it comes up. So many shares like that. Not being so jealous. So there were a whole lot more, but you get the gist. This is amazing. So many of you are so incredibly self-aware, and it takes guts to own what you need to change. But as I said, this is also a beautiful thing because awareness is the first step to allowing in change and manifesting that dream love life. Honestly, I was quite blown away with your responses to this question. I feel like a question like this generally just gets swiped by in the Instagram story, so well done for sitting with it and being honest with yourselves. You can see from the responses that basically becoming a better lover is about healing old wounds and learning how to effectively manage when you do get triggered. It's about, and here's the key, this is what I want you to remember after listening to this episode, it's about reflecting before reacting. It's about reflecting before projecting so that you can communicate effectively while staying open to your partner instead of shutting down. You can also see that the core triggers we all experience are the fear of abandonment and the fear of not being loved. So it's nice in a way to know that we all experience similar wounding patterns and triggers. That's why I love asking these questions and sharing your responses so much. It reminds us that we're not alone. And I hope that even just by listening to this podcast episode, it can help lighten the charge for you a little bit. I also want to support you by sharing one thing that I've been working on over the last, 3 to 4 years that has made me a better lover, has made dating more easy, more fun, has made falling in love and building a relationship so much easier and so much more beautiful this time around. And so what I've been working on, it's so in alignment with what you guys have already shared with me and what you need to change to be a better lover. What I've been working on is, ding, 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 drum roll please, emotional maturity. And what I mean by emotional maturity is the ability to sit with, regulate, understand, and express my emotions and my emotional needs. So in the past, in relationships or while dating, if I was triggered, my emotions would completely take over. I would react without thinking. I would overthink everything. I would get really jealous. I would say nasty, hurtful things that I didn't mean. It was so turbulent. And I know we all dream of having a man that will just love us when we're upset and have all the right things to say or do. But let's be honest for a minute. It's really hard to love someone right who is being a passive aggressive bitch. I take full responsibility and full ownership of the part I played with my immature behavior. The truth is, now I'm not triggered so much, and I'm not triggered so much over the things that I used to be triggered over. But obviously I am still human and female, so I'm still emotional at times. And let's also be aware and be honest of the fact that every new relationship is going to trigger old wounds. So it's not about just doing the work so you never get triggered anymore. It's about doing the work so that when you do get triggered, you know how to handle it. So because of the way I've learned to handle my emotions, I'm now in control of them, which makes things so much easier. I'll give you a little glimpse into how things are for me now, and then I'll share the path I took to get here. So it's all about pausing and reflecting before you start projecting. If I'm triggered or feeling upset now, I'm able to stop myself and sit with it before responding or reacting. This first step is probably the hardest. I never used to have this skill, and I would be sending out like paragraph long text messages of passive aggressive, blamey, blah, 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 that I would later regret. And what I do now is I am able to quickly break through the trigger by stopping, catching myself playing out a story in my head. And then I ask myself, is that the reality of what is happening right now? And then I can usually correct it and bring myself back to truth. So a quick example that I'll share, because I know a lot of you can resonate with this. Let's just say he hasn't texted in a few days. Instead of spiraling out of control, playing the victim, going into that story of he doesn't care about me, I'm not that important, which for me is a lot of childhood wounding coming up, I'm able to stop and ask myself, is this true? Is this true right now? Is this the reality of what's happening in the current situation. And if it's not, I can change the narrative and say, well, he's just out having fun with his friends, or he's just done like back-to-back night shifts. He's maybe having a self-care day. The other thing is I could probably text him also. That's a possibility. But by the way, this only works when you're training yourself to see the truth, not convincing yourself to see something that isn't there. You have to be honest with yourself. This isn't about making excuses for him. The thing is, when you are really sitting with your emotions and being true to yourself, you'll be able to decipher whether it's a case of you needing to sit with and regulate your emotions and work through the inner trigger, or whether it's a case of you needing to discuss his actions or lack of actions, whether it's a case of you needing to discuss with him some of your needs and boundaries. So that's normally what I sit with and the questions I ask myself when I'm triggered. But more questions I ask myself to get clear are, what is this emotion? Why am I feeling this way? Have I felt this way before? Is this bringing something up from my past? What am I making this mean about me or the relationship? This one is really important. What needs aren't being met? What do I need him to know? What do I need right now? And honestly, by the time I've sat with this and asked these questions, usually it's no longer a thing. The walls drop. And if there's something that needs to be shared in terms of what I do need or want from him, instead of it coming from a passive aggressive place that pushes him away, I can share in a way that comes from an open, loving place that allows him in and supports deeper connection and intimacy. And oftentimes it also gives him the opportunity to learn how to become a better lover for me. You see, a good lover is someone who can teach their lover how to be a better lover for them. And this isn't going to happen when you're being that passive aggressive bitch, right? So we can't just assume that our men know and understand everything that we want and need. It's about us teaching them and telling them and communicating with them. There is a time and a place for anger, but generally speaking, if you're angry, it's going to trigger him, his walls will come up, and he'll just want to avoid you altogether. It just leads to more distance between the two of you, which further ingrains those stories of not being loved, and the cycle continues. You have to remember that in a relationship, it's not you versus him. You're always working together as a team to overcome anything or any trigger that comes up for either of you. So how this looks in my relationship now, I'll try and think of a few examples. So at the beginning, actually no, not right at the beginning, maybe a few months in, I could feel myself wanting to pull away out of fear. So after my last relationship, being cheated on, it's been a journey for me to learn to trust men and myself again. In the past, if I was like feeling this fear and wanting to pull away, I would have acted out and like pushed him away to make him prove his love to me, or I would have been like super clingy. Instead, this time around, I've been able to like feel the emotion and recognize what it is and where that fear is stemming from. Instead of acting out, I've been able to communicate. And I think I said something like, I can feel myself falling more and more for you, and it's super exciting, but it's also bringing up a lot of fear of being hurt. And then together we were able to discuss what was coming up for me. And I think conversations like this are so beautiful because they actually create the space to allow him into my inner world, which builds more intimacy and allows me to feel seen in the relationship, which is something I know we all crave. I also tend to have a more anxious attachment style. So I have noticed that when I don't see him for a while and I don't know when I'm going to see him again, it can bring up this fear of abandonment. And in the past, I think I would have sat with that. I would have been overthinking, like, what have I done? Does he still like me? Is he talking to someone else? Oh my gosh, we haven't spoken in a few days. This time I was able to sit with it. I noticed what was coming up. And I mean, all of these limiting beliefs of him talking to someone else and not being interested, these were just limiting beliefs. It wasn't my current reality. It wasn't the reality of my current relationship. It was just emotions and trauma that was being triggered from my past experiences. But what I realized by sitting with this and feeling into the emotions is that I only really felt this way when I didn't know when I was going to see him next. And because I understood that, I was able to calmly communicate with him. I really like it when I know when I'm going to see you next, because it makes me feel safe and secure, right? And you bet that every time I see him now and we part ways, I know when his next day off work is. Actually, now he sent me his whole roster, so it just makes things so much easier for me and my anxious attachment tendencies. So instead of getting anxious and putting up walls when I feel unsure of something, I also ask questions for reassurance. Like, what do you love about me? Could you see yourself living with me? What do you want out of a relationship? It just offers so much clarity that makes me feel really secure and really safe. Another thing actually that happened just a few weeks ago, and I was telling a friend the other day, it was like such a proud moment for me. You know when like you just handle a situation so well and you're like, I would not have acted like this in the past. It's such a like pat on the back moment. So what happened was, a couple of weeks ago, we went to Adelaide, and we went there because the cricket was on. He wanted to watch the cricket. So one of the days we split up because fuck going to the cricket. He went and I had a day by myself catching up with friends. But when it was about to finish, I texted him saying, let me know if you want to go out for dinner and I'll get dressed and cute. Or let me know if you want to stay in and I'll stay naked and cute. And he responded after a little while, asking if it was okay if he stayed out with the guys for a little bit because he'd had a couple of drinks and he just wanted to stay out, have another drink, go for dinner. He said he wasn't going to be late and he'd come back after dinner. And the initial reaction was like, ouch, rejection. Like, ouch. I felt like it didn't matter, like I wasn't important, blah, blah, blah. All these limiting beliefs coming up, all these triggers. He was in Adelaide with me. He should be wanting to hang out with me. And then I actually sat with it for a moment before I responded. And I had experienced rejection in the past, especially my past relationship. So that was being triggered. But I asked myself, was that the reality here? Was I really being rejected? Was I just reliving something from my past and projecting it onto him, right? So the reality is, he hadn't done anything wrong. He's the most incredible man. He adores me. I know that I'm important to him. My emotions were turning the situation into something it wasn't. So I took 15 to 20 minutes just to think about it before I replied. Again, not something I would have done before. I would have been really angry, typing away, passive aggressive. But I sat with it, and after that time passed, I was like, oh, no, it's actually completely fine. Like, I'm actually completely okay with it. There isn't an issue here. So I told him to have fun, and he was home in like an hour or two. No drama. In the past, I would have turned it into a huge thing that would have like ruined the whole trip. This time it took no more than a few moments of me sitting with my emotions, and things were completely fine. I don't even think I mentioned this to him. In this case, there wasn't even anything to be said after I'd sat with him. The other thing is, I get my most agitated and emotional a few days before my period, and that used to make me so snappy. It would always start some sort of bickering or fights in my relationship. And now, because I've become so aware of my emotions and how I'm feeling, I notice how I'm feeling before I allow it to take over, so I can communicate. Like, I feel myself getting annoyed at you, but it's not you. It's because my period's coming. I'm so sorry. And because I've let him in and he knows how I'm feeling, then he can ask, like, what do you need, right? So I've been working on building a healthy relationship and becoming in control of my emotions for a while now. And these tools have helped me to stay open and maneuver with grace, both falling out of love, coming out of my last relationship, and falling in love, moving into my current one. In fact, when I was leaving my last relationship, my ex told me while we were breaking up, that he couldn't believe how self-aware and emotionally mature I was through the whole thing. And my new lover tells me it's the thing he loves and adores most about me. little brag for you, but honestly, I'm just letting you know because I've been in the most toxic, passive-aggressive relationships where communication was non-existent, and for me, vulnerability really was seen as a weakness. So if I can get to this place, you can too. Don't get me wrong, it is a journey. It's not something you're going to work on a couple of times and then you'll never get triggered, defensive, or shut down again. But the more you practice, the easier it gets. For me now, often it's just a moment I have to sit with something. And a lot of the things that I used to get triggered by don't trigger me at all now. But here's how I started. For me, my biggest problem, or the biggest thing that I needed to work through, was jealousy. And I'll explain how I worked through this, but you can use this technique for anything. What's important to understand is that you don't need to speak on your triggers or things that come up for you straight away. I know a couple of you said things that you could change to be a better lover is to speak on things that come up for you then and there in the moment. But sometimes it is better to take time to process and to let the walls come down before you speak about the issue. It's better to revisit it when you're feeling more calm and relaxed, because this is when you can communicate effectively rather than being agitated or angry, passive aggressive when those walls are up. That's when you start resenting your partner. That's when you say things that you don't really mean, which can cause further issues. So it is completely fine. You have all the permission in the world to take as much time to think about something, to process your emotions before coming back and revisiting it and bringing up the conversation. So this is how I overcome jealousy, but you can also use this to overcome or to learn how to connect with and process your emotions in a mature way. So the first step for me was to acknowledge the feeling and separate myself from it. Instead of getting jealous and letting that run the show like I used to, I would notice the feeling. So, I don't know, it's like skin burning, like fiery energy comes up, right? I would sit with that and in my head say, I'm experiencing jealousy. So no longer was it, I'm jealous. Instead, I am experiencing jealousy. It allowed me to remind myself that it was just an experience and it shall pass. Then I would accept it. So after acknowledging what I was feeling, what I was experiencing, I would accept it and tell myself, it's okay that I'm feeling this way, right? And honestly, usually after these two steps, you're feeling a hell of a lot better. If I needed to, I would then place my hand over my chest, breathing into it. It would soften even further. Other times it wouldn't. And I would offer it some assurance, right? So jealousy is coming up because of the feeling of not feeling enough, of maybe not feeling loved, the fear of losing my partner to someone else. So I would sit with it and offer it some reassurance. Again, in a dialogue in my head, letting it know it's okay, you're loved, you're safe, you're enough. And sometimes it even felt right to thank the jealousy for coming up. So part of me was afraid of being abandoned, right? This is huge for me in my childhood, like childhood trauma, the feeling of being abandoned. So this part of me was just coming up because it was trying to protect myself and my relationship. So I would thank it. Thank you for trying to protect me. And through doing this work and really sitting with the emotion, I began to feel more comfortable in experiencing jealousy, as it was no longer an emotion that I judged, nor was I afraid of it because I didn't act on it and allow it to cause chaos as I used to. Instead, I welcomed it in and befriended it. And the more I did this, the easier it got. And like I said, this has been like 3 or 4 years of me doing this. So over the years, it's been so worth it because jealousy isn't something that I really experience that often now. And if it is, I never experience it in a way that resorts to cattiness or me being passive aggressive. The same modality I've used to feel more comfortable with all of my emotions. So it's really helped me overcome any time that I've been triggered, and instead of it causing chaos in the relationship, it's helped me better understand what I need from a lover, what my boundaries are. It's allowed me to open up and feel more seen, more loved, more intimate with my man. And it's also easier for him to better love me now that I'm no longer putting walls up, getting defensive, passive aggressive, because my energy feels safer to be around and I can easily tell him what I need in more of a complimentary way instead of criticizing. It's also helped me learn how to communicate more effectively because I can more easily hold myself through those uncomfortable emotions that come up when being vulnerable. And on that note, actually, I really do believe that another thing that's helped me and a big part of me being able to have this much emotional maturity in my relationships is the amount of practice I've had sitting with my emotions and expressing them or talking them through in coaching sessions and group calls. That's why being in one of my group containers, like the Spark, is such a good place to start. You get to ease yourself into it in a safe and supportive container. Amazing. So, the moral of the story here, babes, reflect before you react. And if you want a better love life, start by becoming a better lover. And the good news here is that you can do this in round two of the Spark, which is opening next month. The waitlist is now open and you can join that in the show notes to get early access and discounted rates with the early bird access. So if you have any questions about the Spark, about this episode, if there's anything that you want me to touch on or share in the next episode, please email me hello@astimarie.com. Otherwise, I will see you all next week with love. Mwah.